Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. Earlier this month, tensions between Cobourg and Northumberland County were on display. Cobourg passed new bylaws impacting emergency shelters within the town. This would include Cornerstone Family Violence Prevention Center and Transition House. The bylaw is aimed at quelling concerns raised by many about the relocation of Transition House to 310 Division Street. Since the county is responsible for Transition House, county staff and politicians called a special meeting of council on March 6th. During the meeting, staff responded to Cobourg's bylaw. There was also a presentation from Ike Wiebe, Executive Director of Transition House. During the debate, there were accusations of spreading misinformation about the bylaw. Timelines were disputed. Communications between town staff and county staff were challenged. The meeting was tense, to say the least. On today's show, two of the main players in the debate will talk about relations between the county and Cobourg politicians and staff, along with explaining why the emergency shelter bylaw is so controversial. First, here is Northumberland County Warden Brian Ostrander.
I'm absolutely pleased to have with me today Northumberland County Warden Brian Ostrander. Welcome back to Consider This Northumberland.
It's always a pleasure, Robert. I'm happy to be here.
How would you characterize the current situation between Northumberland County and the town of Cobourg as it pertains to 310 Division Street?
Unnecessarily contentious is how I would describe it. We find ourselves desperately trying to work in partnership with a number of people, corporate identities, corporate individuals, the town of Cobourg, the county of Northumberland, Transition House, other organizations, province of Ontario, to house the unhoused, to get people off of the street, to help people who are living roughly now not live roughly anymore, and to help provide them with, you know, those wraparound services that will help them stay housed if that's what they choose to do. I'm not going to re-prosecute the things that you have already talked about here. So we do find ourselves, I think in an unnecessarily contentious situation.
At the March 6th special council meeting, you made some opening remarks appealing for everybody to work in partnership, to collaborate. What's your response after the meeting's taken place and events have occurred since then? Were people listening in your mind?
I'm going to say yes. I think by and large, the people around that table were listening. And I think by and large, we do have an environment where we want to work together. Certainly the seven mayors have shown that to be true. My reports between the staff at the county tell me that certainly the staff at the town of Cobourg want to work together. So I do think there is a path forward, and I'm positive, as I always like to be, that we will find solutions that meet everyone's needs, or at least at the end of the day, everyone will be equally unhappy. Whichever it is, whether everyone's equally happy or equally unhappy, well, somebody, at least you've got a movement forward then, right?
We'll come back to what is the path forward, but before we get there, in the open portion of the special county council meeting on March 6th, it appears there was a lot of tension related to the discussions of 310 Division Street and a series of bylaws passed by the town of Cobourg. Can you explain to the audience why the county is so concerned about these bylaws?
I think, well, I think there's a number of concerns, not just at the 310 Division Street, but how these licensing bylaws will affect other organizations in the community. I understand since that meeting that perhaps the town has reached out to some of the other private charities to work through exemptions, which is great. Happy to hear that. If it's true, haven't confirmed that on either. So I'm dealing with rumor, which I don't like to, but there it is. If it is true, I'm happy to hear it. We're certainly hopeful that we can find a way through an agreement to find ourselves in a similar situation. We don't anticipate that the town of Cobourg would want to exempt the county. Clearly, the bylaw has been put in place to at least in some way force the, I'm trying not to use a dramatic language here, but to force the county's hand and create an agreement. You know, I think the mayor of Cobourg said as much in a meeting that was the purpose here. And so we hope we can have an agreement put together, and we hope that would result in the bylaw being rescinded, as was suggested in that same meeting.
The town seems to have a lot of concerns about the operation, safety, and security related to emergency shelters. And yet, in a presentation to the county council in that March 6th meeting, Rebecca Carmen, the associate director of housing and homelessness, gave a detailed presentation. From a county perspective, how do you see the county's approach to operations, safety, and security in relation to the concerns as they are trying to be addressed by the town's bylaws?
I think it's tough to do. The county of Northumberland does not have a police force, certainly not at the moment. And so, you know, when we talk about safety and security, we rely on our police to do that. In the town of Cobourg, that means the Cobourg Police Service. And I understand, you know, like with all things, as a community grows, those costs increase as well. So, you know, not to distract from the conversation, but as you probably know, we've undertaken a review to update a possibility to amalgamate policing across Northumberland County. I think that's the answer to this question of who's going to pay for policing when it comes to these issues. Well, if we were able to have a police force that does respond across the county and reports to the county, then this becomes a moot point, in the same way as it is a moot point in Durham, with which is having a similar conversation.
How much public consultation has taken place in regards to 310 Division Street?
There's been quite a bit. There were a couple of public open sessions. There was also online sessions. It probably wasn't as robust as we wanted it to be. At the end of the day, County Council met in closed session in November to learn that this property was available for purchase, and we gave permission to proceed with that purchase, as everybody knows now. In the normal course, we would have wanted that information to stay in closed session, in you know, to be embargoed until we had a plan moving forward. You can't create a plan without a space. The space became available due to market conditions, you know, an available piece of property, which was essentially turnkey. Very little needs to be done in order to turn this into the product we want it to be for the services we want to offer. Unfortunately, some of the information in the closed session was leaked to the public, and created a situation where we had to do this public consultation much quicker, much more quickly, and in a bit of a condensed form than perhaps we would have wanted to do in a more robust way.
Can you explain the relationship between you and Transition House when it comes to 310 Division Street? Because I think, if I'm not mistaken, this has been evolutionary as things have unfolded. And I know initially it was just you were going to make the purchase and on behalf of Transition House, and Transition House was kind of at the helm on this. And it seems when you're talking now, the county seems to be taking a little more of a hand on the rudder. Can you talk a bit about that evolution and where we're at right now?
Well, where we're at right now is that staff at the county and staff at Transition House are working through an agreement to find out what that's going to look like as we move forward. So we're in a bit of a different situation than I think we were even a couple of months ago, given some of the public feedback. And so I don't want to speak to anything that's in negotiation at the moment. I want the two teams to be able to work that out and bring forward something to county and something that's going to work for both the county, Coburg, Transition House, and the public at large.
Coburg's mayor has accused the county of spreading misinformation and creating fear in the community. What is your response to this?
Well, I think it's easy to point those fingers, and you know, not to put too fine a point on it, but sometimes when we point a finger at someone else, we find a few fingers pointing back at us. So we can't pile all of this fear and judgment onto the county when quite frankly it is the Coburg Council that has passed a bylaw that has led us down a road to scramble. I don't think that's appropriate. At the end of the day, there was always a want to form some sort of agreement between the town and the county. This notion that the county's hand needed to be forced is, it's foolish at the end of the day. The county works with its member municipalities. Whenever there's something that needs to be hosted in that community, you know, my community hosts the county's landfill site, and we have an agreement between the county and the municipality, and what all that means, and we will have an agreement between the town and the county on the issues that surround this new sheltering space as well.
What is the county doing then, if anything, to allay public concerns, especially those that are being expressed through social media and through other channels?
Well, as much as we can. At the end of the day, what we don't want is to continue the hyperbole. We know that there are people living roughly in the community, and we know those people will be better served. The community will be better served with those people housed and receiving the services they need to receive to hopefully end the cycle of homelessness that they find themselves in. If they're willing to engage in that, it's still a free country at the end of the day. And, we want people to be housed if they're willing to be housed. And so, I don't mean to deflect. So, I want to answer your question. What the county is doing is continuing down the road of providing the services that we intend to provide. And by doing that, and by showing leadership, and by taking a calm and caring approach to all of these issues, what we hope to do is to allay the fears of those in the neighborhood. And we understand that people are reacting because they are afraid. And I'm not going to sit here and say, listen, you have nothing to be afraid about. I know they've been dealing with these issues just down the road from this existing facility. They have lived experience with this, and they have good reason to be concerned. What we're trying to do is more or less what we're trying to do is clean up a situation and create a better care model for those who find themselves in homeless situations.
During the special council meeting, there seemed to be a disconnect between the county and town staff as to the timelines regarding the sharing of information leading up to the town passing its bylaws. Why is there such discrepancy between these accounts? Do you have any explanation for it?
I can't really figure that out myself. And I don't think there was any lag in information being supplied to the town of Coburg. I could be wrong about that, but so many of these things are often perceptually based. When we're dealing with things that we feel are important, we think they need to move much more quickly than government often, at the speed at which government often moves. So I think, you know, a practical approach to this needs to be taken. I think, you know, at the county level, we've all taken a bit of a step back and gone, okay, let's not overreact here. And maybe that was part of the problem. Maybe part of the problem was we were busy not overreacting in a situation when there were people in Coburg who wanted us to react much more quickly.
How would you describe then the current efforts by both sides to negotiate a reasonable resolution to the concerns being raised?
To the very best of my knowledge, both staff at Coburg and staff at the county are working diligently to find a solution to this agreement. And I don't think we're far away. I think there's some key points that we need to work out, but I think at the end of the day, what the county has done is emulated the Durham agreement as much as we can in a county model versus a regional model. Understanding the difference in where policing lands, because that's really where some of the biggest issues are in Durham is the security issue and the policing issue, and there may be some dollars and cents that need to be considered at the end of the day. I don't know what that's going to look like, and County Council will have to wrap its head around that when staff brings it to us.
There may be some people who are listening who may not know the details or what you're referring to when you talk, and you've mentioned it several times, the Durham Agreement or the Whitby Agreement. Would you just take a moment and just give us a really quick, tight synopsis of what that is?
Sure. In Durham region, a very similar situation, well, not very similar, a similar situation happened where there was a shelter in Whitby. Town of Whitby wanted an agreement with the region over how things would operate back and forth, and the County of Northumberland and the Town of Coburg are working to find a very similar solution.
All this is to help unsheltered people. Are you satisfied that those people have been included in this process so far?
To the best of my knowledge, the people who are living roughly now were engaging at the public open houses. So, you know, like any issue, Robert, we can't force people to come out to consultations, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the issue is. You'll never be able to get. Someone will always say, "Well, I didn't get to go, or I didn't know about it." Absolutely true. But we have done our very best to ensure that the open houses were open and available to everyone, including those who are living rough in the community.
But what about going to them directly? I mean, we all know that they're living, or not all of them, but we know a great number of them are living down on King Street in the east end of Coburg. Has there been any effort for you to go to them and consult with them, get them around the table, just them?
Yeah, fair question. I don't know the answer to that. I know we have social services staff who do go out and have conversations with the people in the encampment, making sure, I mean, they're providing those social services to them. I don't know if they're also having these conversations with them as well, but I'm certainly going to find out, having had this conversation with you.
I don't mean to be unfair, but what do you understand to be the level of support by the unsheltered people in the encampment or 310 Division Street? Has there been any indication that they think this is a good idea?
I actually don't know the answer to that question.
Oh, okay.
Again, that's a good question that perhaps we should be asking.
Do you think the personal liability of board members to the offsite actions of clients of the emergency shelters is necessary?
I don't even know if we can enforce that level of liability at the end of the day. You know, a board member makes policy decisions for an organization, and if there's clients for that organization, you know, we can't be responsible for everything that client does, especially once they leave the facility that the service is being provided in.
Because I know that this concern has been raised by Transition House. They did that in a delegation to the county as well. So what role, if any, can the county play in this particular aspect of the bylaw that Coburg has created?
Yeah, I'm not sure we have a position to play when it comes to board person liability, board member liability. It would be up to Transition House to ensure that, you know, they have the proper directors and officers insurance, et cetera, et cetera. And I frankly think maybe that's one of the holes in this bylaw, is that, you know, it would be tough to it would be tough to enforce that level of, you know, liability on a board member.
The county has a very interesting relationship with Transition House. You provide them with money, funding. You also contract them to do the work that they do, to provide the service. How much of a role do you play on the ground in real terms when determining how that emergency shelter is run or how it's governed?
I think more and more of that is being worked out through the agreement between the county and Transition House, which is currently in the works. So we're, as I say, we're negotiating those terms at the moment. As of right now, I think, you know, we have those social services folks who go into Transition House and meet with the clients and find out if there's services that the county can offer to them. I think that will be ramped up in the new sheltering area, because there are areas in that building where we'll be able to have staff actually on the ground and meeting with them, maybe connecting them with other services. I think there will be more opportunities at a 310 Division Street shelter to provide services to the clients. So I would anticipate that there would be more county staff involvement at a 310 than there is currently. But again, I need to let staff work that out.
It's interesting though, because it sounds to me as you're talking that this is really a very different kind of relationship that you're forging as you go forward. This is not the relationship you've had in the past. That it's it your involvement, your engagement, your desire to relate to them and to have influence on what's going on is growing. Am I reading the tea leaves wrong, or do you see this as being major changes in terms of how the county relates to how it provides homelessness services or emergency shelter services?
I think we're seeing a change in both how the county is going to be providing these services and how Transition House is going to be providing these services. I think when Transition House began its operations a while back, the issues were not quite as complex as they are now, or if they were as complex, they weren't as in the light, if we weren't all aware of them, quite frankly. And now that we are, you know more, you do better. And so that's what we're trying to do. And we're trying to do that along with Transition House. So we're hopeful that we can have a service provider that we can aid in providing those services in a building that we've purchased, and just, you know, not just help Transition House with its operations, but help the town of Cobourg with a complex homelessness issue that we find ourselves with.
I think it's interesting that you use the word complex. I think that seems to be a hallmark of all of this, is just the incredible complexity of it. And it would then, I don't know if you would agree, but it would then make more demands upon the county in terms of its relationship, whereas before it might have been able to, under the circumstances, keep a rather arm's length relationship. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I think the days of arm's length relationships in social service, in the social service space, are becoming fewer and fewer. There's going to be more and more demand for these kinds of services, and more need for these kinds of social services. You know, as we struggle with housing issues in general, I think there's going to be more and more need for these kinds of social services, and therefore more need for the county to be involved in a more direct way.
I know it's early days, but costs. There's staff time. There's got to be lawyers in the background working very hard. All of these resources are going into figuring all this complex stuff out. Do you have any idea at this point how much this is going to cost?
I don't.
Okay.
I don't.
Fair enough.
Not yet. Yeah.
All right. But will it be costed out then in the future, so taxpayers will know what the cost was to sort through all of this?
Absolutely. You know, we don't ever want to not let the taxpayer know what's happening. We always want to be transparent, accountable to those who are footing the bill at the end of the day, and we'll be sure to make sure those costs are made available to the taxpayer.
Is there any scenario where the 310 Division Street project does not go ahead?
I hope not. I hope we can continue down a path where we find ourselves with a homeless shelter that is operating and providing effective services for their clients and the community. But, you know, my grandmother would tell me never say never. So I don't see a scenario that has us pulling the plug on this, but that's not to say it won't happen.
The Ontario government provided the county with $2.5 million specifically to go towards this project. Can you explain the terms of that that money and how it was given and what's it for?
Really, it's to make sure we have those that shelter up and running, and the services are made available to stop the cycle of homelessness, so that we are able to provide those wraparound services. I know that there was a statement put out that it would be used to clear the encampment. We certainly hope that by providing a shelter and the services at that shelter, it helps to it encourages people who are living roughly in the encampment now to seek shelter at the homeless shelter and you know, take the opportunity to use the services that are being provided to help with a hand up. We have no physical ability to go clear that encampment. We're not going to be running the snow plows through, or we don't, you know, and it's provincial land. So the county can't enter onto those lands. We don't have, even if the province were to issue trespass orders, we don't have a police force to enforce that. So we have no ability to actually clear the encampment. What we have the ability to do is open a shelter, provide services, to wraparound services to help people with their needs.
I know I spoke earlier about the March 6th meeting and the tensions in the room, but if you were to look at the situation in its current context, is there a way forward with the town to resolve these current tensions? And do you see light at the end of the tunnel?
My experience in this job is that cooler heads always prevail. And I think we're seeing that certainly from a staffing perspective. I absolutely see a way forward. I know that county staff and the two CAOs, for example, sat down and went through the issues, and those issues were provided back to us. And we've instructed, you know, continue on with those negotiations. We look forward to seeing an agreement.
Has this issue damaged town-county relations for the future?
I certainly hope not. We live in a robust democracy where, you know, we don't always have to agree on the issues, but once we make a decision, we move forward together. In this case, the county made a decision. Coburg made a decision that appears to be at odds with the county decision, but we'll figure this out. We're all grown-ups, and we're here to provide a service that we know needs to be provided in Coburg. That's where the issue is taking place at the moment. And you know, should a similar issue pop up in another community, we'll work with that community as well to provide the services that need to be provided to help out. And that's, you know, that's what we're here to do. The housing and homelessness file belongs at the county level, and so we'll provide the services that are needed for housing and homelessness, and we'll work with the local municipalities to roll that out as best we can.
The town of Coburg's bylaws go into force on March 28th. That's this week. What happens next?
Good question. I'm not even sure about the enforceability of the bylaw. So, you know, at the end of the day, the best course is for us to work out an agreement. Hopefully the town of Coburg will honor Mayor Cleveland's statement that they'll rescind the bylaw, and the best next steps are working together.
Brian Ostrander, thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you, Robert. It's always a pleasure.
That was Northumberland County Warden Brian Ostrander. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.